You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So we get to the joke this week, Nate?
Yeah. Right. Give me a second. I'll do it.
Yeah, well, hang on. Normally you're ready, mate. Come on.
I was ready, and then you spoke over.
I'm jet lagged. Come on, I'm jet lagged. Let's get on with it.
That's true. Okay. me.
Ten. Ready? No.
Wow, he is jet lagged.
Oh, we ready? Two men are robbing a liquor store. One of them says to his friend, "Is this whiskey?" The other one says, "Yeah, but it's not as whiskey as robbing a bank." So there we go.
Oh, I loved it. I'm not gonna mess about. That's a 10.
Yes.
Wow.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I think I got a few extra decimals for you being jet lagged, but I'll take it.
It was so good. you've got me in a nutshell. Simple, yeah, effective.
That's how I describe you to people.
I don't know about the effective part.
Simple. I don't say but effective, I say
wow.
And effective.
Yeah, okay.
Just to be nice.
I've always liked you, Nate. Med as well. That was a pretty disappointing thing to say, to be honest.
It's pretty mean for Med, to be honest. Unnecessary.
All right. He'll sleep it off later.
I'll wait for about that later. But before that, let's do an episode of The Pad Hop. You've got me, Lawrence Barreto, Nate Saunders, and Chris Midland for another episode. Guys, good to see you. Sorry I'm jet lagged.
You better be. Sorry, not jet lagged.
Sorry, well, I just started laughing.
Otherwise, it's a lie.
Oh, there's got to be a lot of giggling on this episode because I can't really sort myself out. And also, Nate has just been sat there for the whole time, last minute, really just making facial expressions. And I'm not sure if his Zoom is crashed. So,
no, he's there. He's moving.
And also, his beard is so like thick in the minute that it seems like he hasn't got a mouth unless he smiles.
You know, so, I'm here, right? You're talking about me as if I'm not, as if I can't hear you. You know, like he this and he that. No, I'm just listening. I'm just admiring you from on the Zoom, Lawrence. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, Lawrence, it's good to see you, babe.
Paint the picture for us. Why are you jet lagged?
So I landed at 5:40 a.m. this morning. It's Tuesday from China. I'm jet lagged because I've been in China for the Chinese Grand Prix in Shanghai at the Shanghai International Circuit, where Nate Saunders and Chris Melton were not with me for the duration of the weekend.
Sadness.
It was really quite sad, to be honest. But I was happy to be back in China. For
what,
the first
you mean
time
us not being
years.
There or just the race experience in general?
Well, let's deal with my experience first. Maybe you guys could delve into the race experience in general later on. But no, it was sad that you guys weren't there. It was a very quiet paddock from a media perspective. Very few print journalists, very few broadcasters made the trip over China for the first time since 2019. But I had a really good experience, actually, going back. Mostly because I think it was Joe's first race. Most of the people in those grandstands were excited to see Joe. There's an actual real atmosphere at the circuit. When I did the driver's parade on Sunday, the noise, like generally the noise from the grandstands was like Brazil or like, it was like proper epic cheering for drivers, like, and you had all sorts of banners generally, but obviously most were for Joe, or actually Lewis Hamilton, but all drivers were kind of covered, and it just felt like a proper event. And that grandstand is massive. You boys obviously will remember like how it kind of towers over the straight, so it's maybe I don't know, 40 rows high, maybe 50 rows, so it feels quite dominant. And so because of that, it kind of creates this like din. So it was a really nice vibe. Yeah, really nice vibe.
That is one of the coolest grids, I think, isn't it? Because it's, you've got the way that the grandstand like extends over to the pit building, and that's where the media center is at one end, like over the track, and I think it's hospitality at the other end. But it kind of like encloses it like more than any other venue. So I think that's like a really cool kind of, it feels like that's how it should be at many circuits. Like the grid area should be like pre-racing stuff, like a stadium almost.
Yeah.
And that's one of the few places that really is like that. There in, like you say, Brazil.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame they don't fill the place out more, isn't it? Because it was, what was it, about 30,000, I think, on race day. They don't really have those grandstands. Is it still the case, maybe you found out when you were there, that they still can't use half of those grandstands because of the marshland around the back? Because I feel like if they filled that place out, you could really hear the sound, the crowd on the TV coverage. It really added to it, you know, whatever Joe was on track, and there was a few other moments during the race. But that was just from the guys, you know, along the pit lane, it seemed. I don't know. There's a few other places, I think.
Yeah, I think it was double that. It was 60,000.
It was 60, yeah.
Sorry, it was 60,000.
So you're right.
And they had 28 in that main grandstand. 28,000 in that main grandstand.
Yeah, there you go. So that's where your half the number came from. But yeah, it's just there in the hairpin, isn't it? The only two grandstands, really. That's it.
That's right. I remember seeing 28. But yeah, still, and it's just bizarre, isn't it? Because a lot of these races now, we've got used to race day attendances of 150,000, 200,000. But not as a criticism, because it did seem like a real cool fan vibe. And I loved the Joe moment at the end of the race. I thought it was a real nice touch. I know he didn't finish in the points, but it was a race that felt a bit more special because he was there.
Mm.
Yeah, that was like a pre-planned thing. Like Jonathan Nicholas, who kind of organizes all of those kind of pre-race spectacle type events, like in Brazil when they had like the festival dances and stuff. Just thought it'd be a nice idea because that area was so concentrated with Joe fans, and because, like Medlin was saying, they were making noise pretty much every time Joe drove past or they caught a glimpse of him. It was a nice thing to do. Obviously, it just hinged on him finishing the race, which was good that he obviously got to the checkered flag. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had that opportunity. And I think Joe was, well, as you saw, he was just overwhelmed by it all. Because I think up until that point, every time I spoke to him that whole weekend, I thought he handled it so well. Like, he absorbed all of the pressure. The number of people who just wanted him, he basically had like a swarm of bees that just followed him everywhere he went at the paddock because everyone just wanted a piece of him. And I imagine that he got to the end of that and obviously it was done. And it was probably just that kind of like release of emotion and adrenaline. And it's just a shame, obviously, that they couldn't score. But still, to get that opportunity in front of his fans is pretty epic. Mm.
Now I know what they mean by a buzz in the paddock. Swarm of bees.
Look what you've done, Lawrence. You've turned Meadows into me.
Hey. He was on his way anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's my idol.
Thanks, mate. Not surprised, though.
Enough of the sensible stuff. Like, what fun did you get up to?
Well, most of my fun centers around work. So I don't know how, if that's the kind of fun story you're after. No?
What a nerd.
Yeah,
what an absolute nerd.
I saw a photo of you with a cocktail in your hand with a few other F1 team members on your Instagram reel, and none of you, apart from Amy, your producer, none of you actually looks legitimately happy.
I've done Amy a solid there, because that was like the sixth or seventh photo that we took, because I'm the annoyed one at gatherings who wants to take photos, and that was their fourth position and the seventh photo in that spot. I've taken it, and by then I think Sam, Greg and I were pretty much done with the photo taking, whereas Amy happened to have that great smile on her face through all seven. So if she'd just smiled better in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we'd all looked as happy as we were, mate. But we went to a bar on the 14th floor of the Peninsula Hotel. I think Medland.
Everyone knows it very well, yeah.
Well, look, I think,
like, oh, yeah, the Peninsula Hotel in Shanghai.
Oh, that classic. Yeah. Is John still working on reception?
I'm pretty sure I've been there with you, Medland.
Okay.
With our mutual friend Kate. clearly he's got great memories of this moment. It's on the Bund, located on the Bund, on the side of the river, on the opposite side of where that famous skyline is. And so we just went up there for a couple of drinks at the end of a long race day. My colleague Sam, who does social media for F1, he hadn't been to like downtown Shanghai the whole weekend, so it was good to get out and show him that view. But that was the second time that I'd seen that view. Oh, Nate had his finger up, so I welcome questions
for your own benefits. But yeah, my finger is up because I was just about to make a funny addition to that. for people listening, one of my favorite things in Formula One paddocks, because I always laugh at how nonsensical a question it is when a random person from the media will say, where are you staying? You know, and it's like, you're in Miami or something. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm staying like Hollywood Boulevard. And they're like, where's that? I don't know. In Miami. It's in Miami. I don't know the area here. I remember the first time I went to Abu Dhabi, people kept being like, where are you? And they're like, oh, I'm on the Corniche. I was like, cool. That's good for you. Like, they're like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in this hotel. Where's that? Don't know. It's in the desert, and it's, you know, it's where my bed is. I don't really know. I just, and everyone seems to, it's just such a generically asked question. And even today, you know, the only place I think there's a few, like Budapest, you start to learn where things are, but otherwise I never have a clue where anything is. So maybe it's,
I mean,
just
this is more about your lack of geography, Nate.
Well, mate, I was a history graduate, so I you know.
All right, wrong humanity, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the okay. Humanity. but yeah, no, I was definitely team history, not team geography. So, you know, okay. Dates, not places for okay. Me.
Surely you need both in history.
But you, well, you need to know the dates of places.
The year is 1066 and there was a battle somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know who was involved.
The Battle of Bull. Yeah. No, it has really limited my understanding of history, to be honest with you. I just know a lot of dates and stuff happened.
Well,
I don't know where we go from there.
I had one quick question because I've never been to China, but I know you've been in 2019. Has China changed a lot since 19? They've obviously had a rough few years with COVID. Did it seem, or did you get a chance to kind of see, like, was it, I'm sure the like infrastructure wise is not different, but Ted Kravitz on Sky said he noticed it was really different in terms of how many people were around and just kind of the buzz. And it's always difficult to work out exactly how you
as in he was saying that the buzz was greater and there were more people about, or the opposite.
He said it was better and it just seemed like there's just a bit more kind of affluence and, you know, more people have access to more stuff now. But that was his take from, you know, from travel, just from what he'd seen. But
so I think since I was there, it's become more efficient. So like actually paying for things was actually far simpler than it was back when I last went in 2019 for a Westerner. I think it was quite hard to just generally do things in China, pay for things, get around, that kind of thing. I think on the Bund, so that's the center of Shanghai, where the kind of the core, it was heaving on the two times that I was there. Like there was tons of people around. I got quite a nice vibe that the country was kind of just operate in a really nice positive way, more so really than 2019. But I don't know whether that was many things. It wasn't as smoggy this time, so everything just felt like a bit nicer. I remember last time I went, it was very smoggy, and that generally just has an impact on like your perception of it. But and for most people that I talked to, they had a really good time this time around in China. You know, maybe it's just nice to be back after 5 years away. The one other thing that I was going to say to you while I was in the Bund, so I went there twice. The first time was I hosted a panel interviewing Christian Horner, Mike Crack, Ayo Komatsu and James Vowles at a British embassy event that had been organized between Formula One the British embassy. So I got to meet the British ambassador. Yeah, it was cool. I had my red velvet jacket on. You boys will all know of that red velvet jacket, with my red velvet shoes. And it was a nice event. About 50 or 60 people there, just kind of business people from across China. And it was just to try and chat about like British industry, British engineering. Obviously, seven of the teams are from Britain, and just kind of trying to, I guess, generally improve trade business between the two. So it was quite a cool event. Nice to chat to the team bosses about something a little bit different other than like performance on track. It was just trying to talk a little bit more about the wider kind of scope and impact on Formula One. So yeah, so I did a couple of cool things in China. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
That was cool. I didn't know you did that. I've learned.
Yeah, that's
something.
Very cool. See, if I hadn't asked that question, we would never have found out.
That's true. That's mostly because I haven't put.
And you know what? The British ambassador is in his meetings. He's like, guys, I met Lawrence Barretta
in her meetings. Yeah.
Sorry, her meetings. Pronouns.
I didn't name it, so that was my fault.
Yeah, that was your fault.
Caroline Wilson, just for future reference. Dame Caroline Wilson.
She's a Dane.
She's a Dane.
Well, she stood on high.
That brings us on to Paddock Busters. Wow. Because it's my turn today. I've come up with one mainly because...
Oh, you've come up with one?
Yeah, I've come up with one. I've created one because it needs to be one that Nate didn't know.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been one that was shouted out in the Suzuka Media Center. And it basically needed to challenge Nate a little bit because Barreto said, I'm going to be so jet lagged. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I can't think straight. And, well, he didn't get Damon Hill properly anyway. So... with that, I could just tell. I could hear the tension through the podcasting platforms that people listen to us on.
I've never seen Lawrence. Well, I haven't seen Lawrence look as nervous as that since he thought we were going to make him jump out of a plane at his stag do. You looked similar level then, of apprehension. With Pat Buses last week. But I think it went down pretty well. I had a few people message saying they had fun shouting it out, and they all got it before you did, Lawrence. So sorry for that. But now it's my turn to be the fool that doesn't get something. So hit me.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how you guys get on with this. So, the clue is he might be top speed, but he's cold and heavy.
Ooh, that's a good clue. He might be top speed. Sorry, he might be top speed, but he's cold and heavy.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Two things. One, do you want the initials yet, or do you want them later?
No, let's give it. We'll talk about something else. Lawrence can explain something else about his
plans. Can you just repeat it one more time? Just one
he
more time.
He might be top speed, but he's cold and heavy.
Cold and heavy.
Cold and heavy.
Yes. Cold. C-O-L-D.
Okay. Let me mull that.
Mull it over.
Listeners can do the same, and I reckon some of them have already got it, shouting at their audio devices.
Yeah, I'm literally going through different variations of cold. I'm like freeze, miles.
I mean, I'm not gonna
ice.
I'm gonna say no more at this point, but I'll give you the initials later if you need them.
Yeah.
So.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What do you both make while we delay and while we, Lawrence and I, think about it? What do you guys make of the fact that Max Verstappen keeps winning by 20 seconds a race? And he won by 14 seconds and it was a safety car mid distance. Should F1 be worried about this? Should we be worried about it? What do you reckon?
I mean, no, because it's just like it's annoying. It is annoying in the sense that it's great when there's a proper fight at the front, and we'd hope that'd be tighter this year. And I think what annoyed me about China was expecting Ferrari to be closer than that. So I thought, this could be one where we get a bit of a race, and then there wasn't one. Like the sprint format, I think is kind of better, the order it's now in. But then at the same time, when you get a race like that, where it was slightly clouded by the fact it was Lewis second, so it was a car that was not quick, and he managed to hold on for second really well, but the gap to Max, as big as that was, I think really then just made you go, well, there's absolutely no race on tomorrow at all. Like, no one's touching Max. And that was kind of true, but the gap was smaller in the race between Max and Lando than it was between Max and Lewis in the sprint. And that wasn't the car we thought that would be all that competitive, the McLaren. And again, Max said about how everything came together really well. He's like, he was one of their better weekends and he was really upbeat. It's like, sometimes he finishes one and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you might have looked easy, but this was tough and we had this problem and that problem. And that's almost more worrying when he's won by 20 seconds, but he's like, yeah, it wasn't great. When he wins by, yeah, I mean, he would have won by more, wouldn't he, if it had been clean all the way through. But he goes, that was good. Then you're like, okay, at least you were operating at a high level with that. So it's a bit frustrating. I think the problem was, what were we really expecting this year? It would have been lovely to have it tighter, but I just don't think, we've got to be careful that the more you try and force teams to be equally matched, the less people really enjoy that perfect storm of it all coming together when two teams are, or like when two different drivers are fighting, because it starts to feel contrived. It starts to feel like artificial. So you've got to get the balance right. I'm not saying it can't be better by any stretch, but then,
No, I totally agree with you. But 21 was kind of forced, wasn't it? With some of those little rule changes kind of that brought Red Bull into it, which was great because it set up a great thing. But I know what you mean. Like, my biggest fear with it is, and I totally agree, like, you always get dominant periods. Like, you had Schumacher, you had Vettel, you had Lewis. It's never been like this. It's never been like this for as long. Like, even when Schumacher was winning, I was looking back through stuff. Like, you would have, like, Rubens. I think Sergio not really being in the mix is really hurting it, because it's not like there's two different Red Bulls winning. It's Max winning all the time. And, like, even when Lewis was winning, you had Valtteri. Ferrari were good enough to win a couple of races a season. Yeah, Red Bull would be in the mix. And this, it's just so far ahead. And I'm worried that we get all of this year. All the teams in next year will just be looking at 25. And then, you know, we get another year like this, which, great for Max, great for Red Bull. Like, we know loads of people at Red Bull, and it's great to see them doing well. But, you know, when there's so many races, you see the same thing every week. I'm just like, man, like, this was so good a few years ago. How's the championship fight kind of, gone back to this level? So that's my main thing. It's just kind of that deflating feeling of how far it's come back. But at the same time, I think a lot of people like the fight for third and fourth and fifth. I get a bit kind of cynical about that, but, you know, there was some decent stuff in China, I guess, but it just could be so much better, which is a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I could see your point. But so when you just said that about, like, Rubens and Michael, though, I think it's basically the same as that, because I've done the really in-depth bit of of investigatory journalism and gone on Wikipedia. But
yeah, that's Rubens, what I did as well.
Rubens won 9 races between 2000 and 2005 alongside Michael. And never more than, I think he'd say, so he won 4 in 2002.
Well, okay,
but Michael amped you up really early. But then, Checo has won 5 since he's been races. Partners with Max. I think it's 5, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
5. So it's kind of, I think, it's comparable.
But that then maybe kind of sums up the point a little bit, because in the Schumacher days, like, the whole chat was F1's dying. They changed the rules a bunch of times to kind of change Schumacher. They changed the points, which would, like, I noticed it's quite interesting. We haven't had a points change for ages. And now we're in the middle of Max. The last time we had, I know it was 2010, but the first time they really changed the points was 2003, wasn't it, for Michael? It was like, let's give 8 points. It'll spice up the spectacle at a time when people weren't watching. It was like, well, let's make more of the battles more interesting, give more points out. They're kind of doing the same again. I feel like there's some parallels starting to emerge, which, you know, maybe it's difficult to compare the two things. But yeah, the viewership even went down when Hamilton was winning. You know, if you look at global audience figures, and F1's coming from a much higher place from 21 and 22, which is great, but that tail off could be pretty savage if it, you know, if it really starts to, like, momentum can work both ways. That's my thing, you know. But happy if people want to tweet me and tell me they're still massively enjoying it, because I think a lot of people still are. But yeah, just China, I was just like, man, this can't keep being like this. I want to see Max actually have to race someone for a win, like, because he's so good at doing it as well. Like, I feel like the last time we saw Max race for a win was, what, Vegas last year? Then before that, I can't remember one. I just can't. And it does him a disservice as much as anything, because he's so good at wheel-to-wheel, you know, he's so entertaining wheel-to-wheel racing.
I think
I'm trying to stall time as well, because I'm trying to think of cold and heavy. So I don't actually believe any of this. I'm not... No, I do. I do. I'm just joking.
I think we were spoilt with 2021 being such a good year, and then the bar has just gone higher. And now what we're expecting, I think, from one race to another is significantly higher. And, like, I know that it's not ideal for maybe a neutral to watch Max run away with it at the front, but he might suddenly become, or might emerge as, the greatest driver of our generation. And what he's doing is impressive. And he shouldn't be suppressed for that, because everyone else can't do a good enough job to...
No, I'm not saying he should be suppressed.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, I'm saying is that, like, so I think just have to accept that's just the way it is, really. Mm-hmm. And maybe the solution then, if Red Bull really care about it, they should put someone in the other car who could push him harder and fight him harder, you know, on a week-to-week basis, to get that wheel-to-wheel battle that we had with Lewis and Nico when Lewis was doing really well and on that run of championships. So, and then it's down to everyone else to just do a better job, and things will change. Like, 2026 will come around, and we'll have the new engine partners, and we'll have to see whether Red Bull will deliver a good power unit that way, and how good Honda will be when they join Aston Martin, and, you know, whether Merck or Ferrari will emerge as the class leader and stuff. And then, Nate, you might get your chance, if Max is still at Red Bull, to see him fighting through the field, because maybe they won't have the best package, or they won't have the best engine. But the other thing I was thinking is, when Carlos crashed in it was in qualifying for the main race, wasn't it? I think just how robust these cars are now. Like back in the day, it used to have engines go in, like the littlest touch or whatever would cause so much damage that would kind of put a down on their race, or they'd have to retire and stuff. These days, the cars are near bulletproof. Everyone's finishing almost. There's no jeopardy about, oh, okay, yeah, he's winning. Because there used to be a time when Max might have been leading, but his engine might have got on the final lap.
Yeah.
And you never knew until the final lap. So you had that jeopardy. Whereas you pretty much know now that the cars are so good because they're so technologically advanced. I'm not saying we need to dial in unreliability, but that's just another factor in it, I think.
And yeah, exactly. And then when there's 24 races, when he does retire, I feel like it's less important. It's like it's still like 23 races to make this, you know. If you retire once in 10, you're like, oh wow, like he's only got 9, and you know, then you can have a bad race and it might not be great. The more races you have, yeah, that's true of everyone else as well, right? But it's just like, I mean, you kind of forget Max hasn't won one race this year, and he didn't finish one race. He's still 25 points ahead. He's still a whole race ahead of the nearest guy, and he didn't finish a race, which is just kind of like, so it's, I don't know, it's it's a shame it's like that. But I hope, I think you're right. Like 26, I'm excited. But 26 seems so long away as well. But we are all getting older. So
that's what's actually about this whole discussion. I think that's where it comes from. That because we know that this year, most teams went for it with car designs and stuff for the next 2 years, because 26 will be such a big focus. What we're seeing is kind of a bigger hint for 25 than normal. So if it isn't going to get any closer, you know, it will close up a bit through the year and probably next year too. It has been, but just not quickly enough. And I think there's actually going to be less closing next year than we normally see because of the focus on 26, that maybe it means that yeah, there's still more wins for Ferrari maybe than there has been recently, but it's so hard to see that it's going to be anything other than two Max titles and Red Bull. And I think there's not really another sport where at this stage you go, well, next season in 12 months, we know who the heavy favourite is already. You get pictures and form, but I think that can be a bit damaging as such. But at the same time, like you said, there's so many other aspects that are cool. I think this points like idea is actually really good, because do you remember the Stroll and Magnussen scrap that was going on for 16th in the middle of that race? Was epic, but it was for 16th with two drivers with penalties. But that you want to see those fights happening anyway, and it's even better if they're really worth something. You know, when it is for 16th, you know it's not worth anything other than our enjoyment. But when there might be a point on the board and whoever wins that fight, you know, comes out on top with 1 point, that will be talked about a lot more and will just seem a lot more exciting. I'm not saying that fixes F1 because you have, you know, something boring at the front, but I think that kind of move is actually quite a good one, because this doesn't feel like a move designed to try and reel in, you know, Red Bull or Max or something. This is a move to go, actually, because the cars are bulletproof and everyone always finishes and everyone's actually really closely matched behind Red Bull, that you can't really get yourself into the points if you're on the bottom five teams unless something else happens. And it's so rare that something else happens. It's just driver error you're looking for every now and then. So it was the same in China, wasn't it? There was a lot that went on, but it was only because Stroll was involved in it that meant that Hülkenberg could get a point.
Yeah,
that was the only thing.
I think we should call 10th the Lance Stroll point, because he's always leaving that on the table for someone.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's how it kind of why that might be needed and could kind of help actually just have more fighting. I'm all for that.
So Nate, have you got any ideas?
I keep thinking Max something, but I don't know any other Maxes. To answer your question, no.
And no.
This is actually really difficult. I'm now appreciating what Lawrence went through last year, because we're trying to do the podcast and think about the Paddock Buster.
Exactly.
I've just been looking at my phone and like writing down like, I've just got top speed, cold, heavy. So I don't know. So give us the initials, and then that should hopefully trigger something.
When I give you these initials, you're going to shout out the answer, just like everyone else is right now that's listening. But I'm certain there's a load of people. Sorry if you're not one of them, because there'll be a load that don't get it. But there's a load of people right now listening who
is it a driver from the
based
current
on what
grid?
You said. No, it's not.
Okay.
But you nearly were there. MC.
MC.
Oh, Max Chilton.
Max Chilton, yeah. That's really good. Chill was one of the few words I didn't think of.
I didn't think of chill for ice.
That's excellent. Well, that's an excellent pad hoc buster. I like that one a lot, mate.
Now, can we also, at this point, bring up the fact that Nate overlooked Max Chilton for the Indy 500 win a few years ago, and then he overlooked him as a Max at racing F1. So, I mean,
that is becoming a theme of my career, actually. Don't overlook Max Chilton, basically. Max Chilton, if you're listening, if you hear about this, I'm very sorry. On both occasions.
Well, Nate, we're going to punish you now as well, because after we've recorded this and I've edited it, it will be Tuesday afternoon. It already is Tuesday afternoon. Tomorrow morning, I'm meeting up with Mr. Barreto and two of our colleagues, Ben Hunt and Lawrence Edmondson, to play some golf. We've got a nice little break planned. And you're going
to
hear
all about
it.
Boys' holiday to golf. It's so sweet that you guys are
You're going
to
hear all about it in Miami.
I'm so excited.
You'll be so jealous.
Well,
dinner and drinks and everything. It's going to be wild.
If I'm still with it in Miami, I'll be quite impressed. I, on the other hand, I'm going to Amsterdam for a stag or a bachelor for our American listeners, a stag party. And it's
yours?
King's Day in Amsterdam. No, I'm best man though. It's Ben who you met on my barge birthday.
Your best man?
Yeah.
So you've had to organize this?
No, so it was a bit unconventional. No, because he was like, you're away for the next couple months. So I'm going to let one of the groomsmen organize. And I was like, music to my ears, because if I'd organized it, we'd be going to Butlins or something. You know, no shade to Butlins, but it's not where we want to go. And yeah, it's King's Day, which is like a big deal in Amsterdam, a big deal in the Netherlands. So I think, and then I get back on the Sunday, fly on the Tuesday. So I might be a shell of a man on that flight and beyond, quite possibly. I'll be in an awful mood, and you guys can just talk to me about golf and push me over the edge.
You're going to be in such trouble, though. Such trouble, because you've just alienated basically all of the Netherlands with your comment about how rubbish it is that Max is dominating and F1 needs to solve it. And yeah, you just, the blasphemy against Max Verstappen that you just brought to the pad, that's the pad hoc.
The padcast.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be onto you, mate, as soon as you land. But certainly, if you're in the middle of those festivities, they're gonna spot you.
Yeah, there'll be like a big klaxon that goes off, like Nate Saunders is here, and everyone's like putting on their sunglasses and like, where is he? Let's go throw him in the river or the canal, one of the canals.
Many a canal. But wow, that's real jeopardy, isn't it? For the next time we might do this. I know we had a huge gap earlier in the year, and look at us doing 2 in 2 weeks, but. You might not be, neither of you might be around, actually, because I don't know if Barreto with his jet lag is going to survive 2 days of golf.
He's
going to go down.
No, don't hit me with a golf ball then, or a club.
I make no promises.
No, 2 days in the British countryside is going to be lush, Nate. You wait until the stories will have for you.
Can't wait. I bet there'll be lots of drives and lots of fairway. The fairway will have been reached. Please do tell me if one of you sinks a birdie into a bunker. has to wipe a bogey from your nose and then get attacked by an eagle and run away from an albatross.
Look at that.
What a day out that would be.
Yeah, that would be epic. That
would be a day I want to hear about. But yeah, if it's just golf stuff, then you know, add a bogey or two in there and I might listen.
Lovely stuff. Now, well, I think
I just suddenly looked across at one of my notes and realized there was another pad hoc buster that I'd done that was deemed too easy by my wife.
Okay.
Which I thought I could give you guys to finish or not. You want me to save it?
Yeah, no, throw it out and we can either why don't we let people message in with this if it's easy?
They can, but I mean you'll get it. But
Let's see.
This tough transmission is Barreto's favorite food.
Get her burger.
There we go.
You're doing
good. Easy.
The joy on his face. So I actually felt that the jet lagged man just needed a win. And
boys, he had that was a charity pad hoc buster.
Pretty much.
Boys, I appreciate the charity pad hoc buster. I'll take anything. That was so good. And it was super satisfying, even though I knew it was easy. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Just like
thank
a good Gerhard. Burger is.
Just like, I had a great burger in China. Great burger. And I had a good one in Japan. Oh, boys, the burger runs have been sensational recently.
Burger runs sounds really...
No, the run. No, the run.
Nate's in his own little world because he didn't even smile at that. But I thought that was a Nate esque.
No, sorry. I was the golf chat zoned me out a bit, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, on that note, we definitely will call it quits there.
Sorry, that was mean of me. I didn't mean to be mean. Be rude.
That's okay.
Sorry,
the listeners won't think you're rude.
You can be at the end, yeah.
That's okay. All right, chaps. Thanks for, as ever, for your time. You can follow us on our social channels at The Paddock. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Medes' work on Racer.com, and my work on F1.com. And we'll do this again very, very soon.
See you in Miami.
Bye, 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 bye.
Network.